It is always my joy and privilege to be able to preach the Word of God, but it has an additional ingredient and challenge whenever I have to do it in English. And now, as before, I beg you to pray for me while I try to speak your language. Whenever I make a mistake or you don't understand, it's not your fault, for sure. It's right here, so pray for me, please. A few weeks ago, in the good providence of God, my doctor called me back after an ultrasound, and he said that we need to talk. And whenever a doctor and a pastor tell you we need to talk, there is something happening. So I went back to his office, and he said, it happens that we found a cyst, 4 centimeter cyst in your right kidney. And when he said that, I was impressed. I said, what would that really mean? And he said, well, I need to send you to give your referral to a urologist, and he's the one that will tell you exactly where are we standing, because I see some things inside that cyst that I don't like it. And that's another red flag when the doctor doesn't like something. So I went back home, and I just commit one of those, the worst mistake you can do for these days after something like that is that you Google that. Don't do that, all right? But I did it. So you can imagine all kind of things that just pop up right there, what that means. And I saw myself right there. I said, well, this is it. One of the possibilities is that, but the thing is that fear start to grow in my heart about the future. What's going to happen with me? What's going to happen with my family? And my mind and heart were full of those, you know, kind of thoughts. Then I did exactly what I'm planning to share with you this morning, and God is good. And he was gracious to give me peace to this moment. My appointment is this coming Tuesday with the urologist. So I don't know what's going to be, but I'm in peace. I'm ready for whatever God has for me in this time of my life. So I covet your prayers on that. And at the same time, I invite you over to open your Bibles in Genesis chapter 32. And I just want to share with you fear and faith battle in our hearts. Here we see a son of God, Jacob, struggling specifically with faith and battle. And the way he address and deal with this, I believe, can be a tremendous encouragement for all of those here who may be facing fear or going through some kind of fear in light of the future. Probably only a few of you feel that, and so I'm glad to talk to a few of you, so the others just bear with me and learn something here from the Word of God. So Genesis 32, let's read verse 11 and 12. This is Jacob praying. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers, with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Please let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to be among your people. In the church that Christ purchased with his own blood, worshiping your name, being blessed by the lyrics and the music and the whole congregation singing in one heart. Now, when we come to your word, it's an even greater privilege because you talk through us. In spite of the weakness of the instrument, you exalt yourself talking and dealing with our soul while the preaching is, the word is preached. So help your servant in his extraordinary weakness, and bless your people as you have promised, O Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in his name we pray. Amen. The life of Jacob is very much as our own life. I don't know when was the last time you went through his life. And he goes through so many crises. And, you know, he lied to his father. Who hasn't lied to his father here? And he betrayed, in some degree, that confidence. And he went away from home. And then he went through so many things that definitely I see much of us, of my own life, in him. He left home, and God was so gracious. He appeared to him with like angels, and that was an extraordinary vision he had that night. But at this moment, he's coming back home. He's rich. He has a big family, two wives. I mean, too much, but he's coming. Oh, yeah. One is enough. So you know that. But he's coming back home, and he's praying before he faced his brother. He knew he was approaching the land where his brother was, and he was fearing him. Now, he sent some people to talk with his brother, and he was trying to face favor, to find favor in his brother's sight. But it happened that those messengers came back and said, "You know what, Jacob? Your brother is coming to meet you, but he's not coming by himself." Oh, no? No. And let me tell you, himself, that should be enough to be afraid. But he said, no, he's coming with 400 men with him. Immediately, Jacob fell in fear. And this is the moment when he's praying. And amazingly, we can see here that fear and true faith can be together in a true believer heart, can dwell together. So how he faced that and how he was able to overcome fear and act as a believer, trusting in God, that will be my subject here. And I just want to quote Spurgeon here before I continue. This is what Spurgeon says. Note, concerning Jacob's fear, that is probably aroused out of the recollection of his old sins. Old sins, like old sores, are very apt to break out again. The very mention of the name of Esau brought up before his mind the day when his mother cooked the good kids of the goats, and he took his brother's godly raiment, put it on Jacob, and put the skin of the kids upon his hand and his neck, that he may deceive his father into the belief that he was his very son Esau. That tells me that because all of us, we are sinners, sometimes, because of our past, sinful past, yes, we can just at a certain point of our life end up in fear. He was in fear of the future, fear of financial hardship, fear of loneliness, fear of emotion damage to children, fear of personal rejection, fear of losing a home, fear of men, and his own twin brother. Now, I believe that some of us could be struggling with fear. What kind of fear? Well, sometimes we are so creative that if there is nothing objective to be afraid, we made up something in our mind to be afraid. And all of a sudden, we're just anxious. What's going on? I don't know. But everything is okay. Yes, but I feel like that. Well, that could be fear. How do you know it? Well, let me first present you the fear. Fear in the heart of Jacob. Yes. First, there is a beneficial fear. which is the fear of the Lord. That one is good. The fear of the Lord is connected to wisdom, bring blessings and benefits, according to Psalm 111, verse 10. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Good understanding have all who practice his commandments. Now, let me tell you that this is not the fear that Jacob was going through. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. But this is not the fear he was experiencing. The fear he was experiencing was the fear that results after Adam and Eve sinned against God. You remember this story. This is the Lord who is telling us in Genesis that when they sin against God, they hear God's voice in the garden and they hid. They went away. They didn't face God because they were in fear. So those who are in sin still hide themselves from God. That's the reason why many don't want to come to Christ. Because they are afraid how God, the judge who knows everything, is going to deal with me because of his, I have sinned against him. There we start suffering of what I call sinful fear. Let me tell you, fear is a blessing from God. When I say that, is that sometimes God wants us to fear something. God gave us his word and he say, you don't eat out of this tree fruit. Don't eat it. The day you eat it, you will die. God's intention is be fearful. Don't eat it. And God in his goodness used many providential ways to bless us. And he used that capacity to fear in us so we hold ourselves and we don't do certain things. We fear authorities. We feel to be discovered and exposed to shame. Those are good results of fear. But at the same time, because sin affected all our being, fear has become something no good up to a certain point. Somebody said this, fear is false evidence appearing real. Because we start feeling fearful, and you don't know exactly why you are feeling fearful. Now, when we come down to Jacob, what really happened on him that he ended up suffering fear? And how do we know if we are also struggling with fear? First, he began to think that his life depended on men and not of God. Jacob's fear was connected to the fact that he put a man in the place of God, his brother in the place of God, thinking that his life was in his brother's hand and not God's hands. Listen to Warren Wiersbe. Anticipating a difficult reunion with Esau, Jacob took the wise approach and sent messengers ahead to inform his brother that he was coming. But instead of committing the whole matter to the Lord, who had protected him from Laban, Jacob adopted a condescending attitude that wasn't benefit to man or to the men God has chosen to carry on the Abrahamic covenant. Sending the messenger was a good idea. But calling Esau, my lord, and himself your servant, and trying to impress Esau with his wealth was only evidence that Jacob wasn't trusting God to care for him. And sometimes we think that I must please my boss in order to preserve my job. No, God is my provider. And he used my boss and whoever he pleased, even birds, to give me food. So that's what he did. He thought his well-being was depending of his brother's favor and not God. So whoever lived like that obviously will be in fear. In Jacob's mind, he feared Esau and looked for Esau's favor and acceptance. I may appease him, he said, with this present. Secondly, he was in fear. And notice how the fear was manifested with anxiety about an unreal and fatal future. That makes sense? Unreal and fatal. This is what he thought. Come back with me to the scriptures. Genesis 32, verse 11. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Now, what is he fearing? Listen. I fear him that he may come and attack me, the mothers, with the children. Well, where all that came from? His mind. Actually, that never happened. So whenever you see your future and you start thinking the worst about something that has not happened yet, probably you're facing fear. I remember when my youngest daughter was struggling with cancer about a year ago. Driving to my work every morning, my mind was full of that. And I was even thinking, okay, if she died, what will I preach in her funeral? Would you believe that? But she's alive. But I suffer that myself. And sometimes we see our children like that. And probably you see your children jumping healthy. Oh, one day probably he will die before I die. And if that happened, what will happen with me? You know what? Our future and our children's future is in the hand of the good Father we have in heaven. So when you start thinking like that, like as Jacob did, probably fear is already dwelling in your heart. In third place, fear was manifested and clear in the heart of Jacob with a sleeplessness. He couldn't sleep that night. If you read with me, the same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants. This is Genesis 32, verse 22 and 31st. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel. So whenever a person is afraid, fears something, can't sleep. Somebody told me once, you never say this and don't tell the whole story. But I can tell you the whole story. So please just take this little headline. In 1989, I was traveling from the West Coast, LA, to Miami. And somebody hijacked the airplane I was traveling with. And the person was talking in Spanish. And he said he had a team of other three. And the whole plane, only three guys knew Spanish. Guess what? I was one of them. So all of a sudden, I was part of the team, not knowing what was going on. 45 minutes, he said, I have a bomb in Spanish. And I will explode it here. After that, I don't know what happened in my heart regarding flying. You can understand that, right? Okay. So I keep watching everybody who get in the plane, make sure that everything is okay. I feel like that. All right. But to be honest with you, my new job is demanding for me traveling so much that I'm trying to get used to that. But some people don't. And I remember a person that the night before he traveled, he couldn't sleep. And he said everything is okay, but he spent the whole night sitting in a chair looking at his watch, the time to go to the airport. That could be he's fearful. He's in fear. He's afraid of flying. No, he's not. Yes, that's what it is. You're not the pilot, so you don't have to be concerned to be there on time, so you spend the whole night sitting in a chair. So Jacob couldn't sleep last night because he had fear. Probably if you have a struggling with fear, sleeping at night, who knows? Fourth, his fear was known because he distrust and doubt in spite of God tokens of loving care, protection, and presence. If you see at the beginning of the chapter, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. The Lord blessed him after a long night of prayer. But anyway, no matter what the Lord gave him, he still remained in fear. Our God is so good. He has been with us over and over and over and over. And you know what? As soon as we face something that seems like it may be a dark providence, we fall in anxiety and fear. Is that true with you? Finally, the Lord changed his heart, and Esau and Jacob realized that there was not need to be afraid. I just want to invite you to see in your Bibles Genesis 33. He spent the night suffering with anxiety, but check this. Please, Genesis 33, verse 12 and following. Then Esau said, let us journey on our way. At the end, he was still struggling with fear. Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you. That's what Esau said. I will protect you. I will be with you, my twin brother. But Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are frail and that the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me. If they are driven hard for one day, all the flock, blah, 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 blah. You know what he's saying? I still don't trust you, my brother. I don't want to go with you. You go your way, I go my way. But Esau seems to be Dominican, and he insisted. Verse 15. So Esau said, let me leave with you some of the people who are with me. But he said, what need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir, but Jacob journeyed to Sukkot. Anyway, he never stayed with his brother. And you know why? Not because he doesn't love him, because he didn't trust him, and he was afraid. So I think much of my heart here. God liberates us, God bless us, and around the corner we find something else, and immediately we start distrusting God, and we end up in fear again. How fragile we are. How weak we are. But you know what? Fear can produce some other reaction. And you know you are in fear when you, like Adam and Eve, hide from God. Remember what Abraham did when he was afraid? He lied. So some people, when they are afraid, they start lying. And they become actors. And people ask them things and they keep telling lies and lies and lies and lies. He exposed his wife to adultery. Remember the people of Israel, when they were afraid of the giant, they ran away from him. David acted. Remember how David acted when he was afraid? I have here madman. Is that the right word? So some people react like mad when they're afraid. We lost control of ourselves. That's the idea. You start acting out of yourself, your character. And pretty much that happened in church, let me tell you. Let me tell you. You're struggling with something, struggling with anxiety, and the Lord in his goodness sent somebody, an angel, somebody from the church, that draw near to you and say, "My brother, my sister, how are you?" "Oh, I'm fine. Life is wonderful. Enjoying the..." No, wait a minute. Are you struggling with something? God sent that person to you so that person can pray for you and bless you right there. The apostles flee and abandon the Lord when they were afraid. And Peter finally denies the Lord when he was afraid. I mean, this is not a light thing. It's an everyday struggle with consequences. Now, let me go back to our friend and brother Jacob here. And there's a lot to say. Last time I preached here, I went over the time. And I don't know exactly if that... Is that work clock working back there? Is not working? Yeah, Pastor Matt loved me so much. Procrastination can be another expression of fear. Yes. People who... I really want to finish as soon as possible and leave from here. But anyway, procrastination is also a result of fear. People who procrastinate in doing what they need to do are not facing up their fears or aversion to certain things and situations. And that has to do when the Lord Jesus Christ said to a group of people right there... about the cost of following him. He said, "Foxes have holes and birds in the air have nets, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Immediately the people that were there say, "Oh, nothing, not even where to lay my head." And this is what they said. Jesus said, "Follow me, Lord. Let me first go and bury my father." That's fear of the consequence of following Jesus. The same happened. And even laziness. Some people just don't want to do something or do it very slow because they're afraid. We saw enough about the fear of Jacob. Now let us move a little bit faster to the faith in the heart of Jacob. Some clarification. Everybody has some kind of faith. Faith is not the thing. The thing is, faith in whom do you have? Not faith, because demons has faith, and we know that. One dictionary defines faith as confidence or trust in a person or thing. There could be also faith and superstition. Going back to my flying experience. For some time, when I was in the waiting at the gate right there, I took notice if there were any children in the passengers. And if I saw any children, I said, "Oh, this is going to be a peaceful flight. Children always are so gracious, and God protect children, so I will be included in that on the..." So on. Until I start flying more, and then I had to replace that thinking and say, "I am the children of God in this plane." But that is superstition. Superstition. If things go this way, or I find this number, or the person look at me in that way, I will be fine. And that's not the faith we're talking about here, is the real faith. How do we know Jacob had real faith? First, he acted and prayed to God, the God of Abraham and Isaac. Listen what he says. The Bible says he divided the people who were with him. That was wise. Just in case something happened, okay, that was wise. He acted, but more than that, he also prayed. And verse 9 says, "And Jacob said, O God, my father." Verse 11, "Please deliver me, Listen to Psalms 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. That is faith. I'm afraid, I'm weak, I'm insufficient, but let me pray to my God, who is the Almighty, and he will take care of me. That is faith. That is faith. Secondly, his prayer was to God, and listen to this. This is very important. His prayer was to God, and his argument was the promise of God. And I love that. How will you pray? Take the promise of God in your mouth, in your heart, and pray with that. Repeat that over and over, and the word of God will work in your heart and will produce the peace that overpasses all understanding. The word of God. Yes. That's why, my brothers, my sisters, it's so important to memorize the scriptures. Because the Spirit of God will take out of what is already in your heart. Yes, no one will be able to face fear and get his Bible, although it is in a smartphone, and then get a concordance online. What is that passage? And then you go there. By that time, you will be, I don't know how. But when it is in your heart, the Spirit of God take you from there and apply whatever circumstances you are going through. That's why we must insist in the preaching of the word of God. When we come here every Sunday, this is what we want to hear. The word of God preach. That the preacher bring more scriptures. Apply that scripture to our circumstances. So we leave the place, or we leave our devotional time saying, oh, this is what the Lord wants me to do with this. So let us meditate on that. Let me go over on that. And that the Spirit of God use to put away all your fears. You pray, and you pray with the word of God in your mouth. That's why it's so beneficial on a daily basis. When you read through the scriptures, you pray the word of God. Which basically means this. This is Jacob. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. And then all of a sudden, instead of Esau, your boss name come to your mind. John. And then you pray like that. Oh Lord, deliver me from the hand of my boss. From the hand of John. Make sense? You pray the scriptures. You apply that to your heart. In addition to that, faith, and I will just quote this very quickly, help us to conquer, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Faith, those who believe will not be put to shame, 1 Peter 2:6. So they don't have to be afraid to be in shame, because I believe in God, so I trust my God. The one who believes is blessed, Psalm 40, verse 4, will not be moved. Isaiah 28:16, will not be disappointed. Romans 9:33 and 10:11, and prayers heard will prosper. Proverbs 28:25, and again, there's a number of verses, but I just want to stop there. However, let me finish with the battle in the heart of Jacob. The battle in the heart of Jacob. We saw the fear manifested, his faith, and now the battle. How he did work with that. How he battled against the fear and his fear. And I can see in the battle two things. First, who are the opponents here? Who are the opponents? And what was the strategy he used? Now let's see the opponents in the battle. Who do you think are the opponents in your fear? You and God. It was not Jacob and Esau. Esau was nothing but an instrument in the hand of God. Now, This is the key of the matter. What I say against what God says. And that's what you have to deal with. What I think, what I feel, or what God says and what God thinks. That's the struggle here. Listen to that clearly in Jacob's words. Going back to verse 11. Please deliver me. And I have a quick question for Jacob. Jacob, who told you need to be delivered? Who told him he needed to be delivered? God or himself? I want to hear from you. Oh, God told him he needed to be delivered? No, himself. That's Jacob talking. And then he continued, for I fear him that he may come and attack me, the mothers with their children. Who said that? Jacob. So that's his voice. That's his thinking. But verse 12 has God's voice. But you said, say Jacob, and he's putting aside my word and your word. I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. There are some people who are, if I may use the word, very picky when they come to the scriptures. You use that word, picky?
Yes.
Okay, we're talking here. Very picky. Where does God told Jacob, I will surely do you good? And he mentioned that twice, so he was very convinced of that. I'll tell you where the Bible said that God told him, I will make you good. Nowhere. So how he ended up believing that? Because this is the rational. God said he will be with me wherever I go and he will bless me. What is that if not God will do good to me? If God is with you, he will do good to you. If God is not with you, Christ is not with you, then another story will be. So that's the way we should handle and face fears. Understand, it's my thinking, my perception, what I smell, what I heard, or what God has said, and there is where my heart should be. Can I go back to my flying experience? Are you okay with that? Okay, sometimes, specifically I was traveling with my wife heading New York, and the pilot said, well, everybody, I must be honest with you. Get ready because this is going to be very difficult turbulence. The pilot said that. You don't say that. So, I mean, because we don't know. I mean, but when he said that, and every time they talk about turbulence, this is my answer. Well, that's what he says. Now, let me see what my God says when we get there. And you know what? Nothing happened. Smooth, easy. So, even so, let me tell you, when we went to get a second opinion on my daughter, we went to a doctor, and he was very honest. And he said the worst you can hear. And when she left there, she said, I didn't like that doctor. I said, I didn't like that doctor neither. He presented the worst. But that's his version. We have to wait until our Father in Heaven version. And that's the truth. No matter what people say, what the Lord says. And it's amazing when we come down to our seeing and people say, oh, that person, oh, there is no hope with that person. That person had lived in such a way. And I want to quote Dr. Phil. The best way to know the future is seeing the past. Wrong. The best way to see the future, if we are in Christ, is to see what he says about my future. My past could be a disaster, the worst. But I came to Christ and he made me a new creature. So I have a brilliant, victorious future for the glory of his name. So my feeling, my understanding, everybody understanding. And finally, my God word promises an understanding. And we should stand right there. Right there. Not all my children are in Christ. But you know what? I trust him. He gave me my children. And according to Romans 8, his spirit moved me to pray for my children since they were in the womb of my wife. So I believe and I wait on him, although I don't see finally they are coming to Christ altogether. I don't care what I see, what I understand. I keep changing. One day I see myself in the mirror, I say, oh, what a nice guy I am. Next day I see myself, oh, I'm getting old. Look at all that. I keep changing. We cannot trust at all in ourselves, our judgment, discernment. But him and his word that never change. Okay, these are the opponents. Now, what would be the strategy to do the war? And I created an acronym, okay. And the acronym is FEAR. I think it's very easy. And the first word, F, is face your fear. Face your fear. Give it a name. Be honest with yourself and in the presence of God. Would you do that? Say, Lord, I'm afraid to go back to my previous life. I'm afraid to sin. I'm afraid to this person. I'm afraid to that situation. Whatever it is, be honest and bring your burden to God. Yes. This is what Jacob did. Listen how clearly he articulated. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother. Yes, I'm afraid of my brother and his hand. While Jacob stayed home with his mother cooking and preparing I don't know what, his brother was outside in the field. I assume that probably Jacob's hand was smooth, like a preacher hand, some preacher hand, but his brother was hand should be like a farmer hand. Have you seen a farmer hand? So he said, I'm afraid of the hand of my brother. He was very precise. So do the same with your fear. Name it, face it with a name specifically. Lord, I'm afraid that my children may go this way and I don't want to go too far, but I'm afraid about this. I'm afraid if I lose my reputation, I'm afraid, whatever it is, just bring it to God with a name. The letter E. Elevate to God your heart in prayer with your fear. Specifically. Notice I said to God, because sometimes people are scared of the things we're afraid. Yes. A. Apply the word of God specifically to your fear. And this is very important. This is what Jacob did. Listen to him again. You said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. So he applied the word of God specifically to his situation. And that was exactly what I was trying to tell you about praying the scriptures. And finally, the letter R, resolve to act in faith over your fear. One of the things that fear does is paralyze us. Can I go back to my flying experience? Okay, we agree on that. So some people love to see it in the window because they don't move from there. As soon as the airplane starts moving, they just put the window down and they stay there. And they don't want anybody walking too fast because, you know, they feel, no, right here. Okay? Now, fear sometimes paralyzes us. I don't want to do this because what if? I don't want to say that. What if? You know what? Act in faith, trusting in the Lord in whatever he commanded you. Trust Him. Trust the Lord. Repeat to yourself what the Lord has done in your past. Listen, Psalm 28. Blessed the Lord, be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trust, and I will repel. My heart exult. And I am help. My heart exult, and with my son I give thanks to Him. Resolve not to fear in the future. Listen, Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We need that kind of exhortation to our soul. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That is true. Whom shall I feel? Feel, I said? No, fear. I'm sorry. We agree you have to pray whenever I say something wrong here. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear thou the earth give away. You know, you need to repeat that word to you in advance and prepare. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. Isaiah 41:10-13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. I am the one who helps you. Whenever a preacher say, finally, I'm finishing, do not trust them. But I am finishing now with this brief application. First, do you know how many times the Bible say, do not fear? Who remember that? The theologians here. Exactly. Because it's say for each day of the year. Every morning you need to repeat yourself. We are surrounded by scary circumstances here. Those who watch the news, I mean, we are. All the time. So our God wants us to not fear, not be in fear. And the verse that was read here, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And that is specifically was directed to the disciples facing tribulation and persecution. But I do want to apply that to you who has not believed in Christ yet. You who are living by yourself. You who are not a Christian. Yes, you don't fear men, fear God. Fear God. And the best way you really accept you fear God is if you accept you're a sinner, repent, and then refuge in Jesus Christ. If you have not believed, this is the time for you to fear, but run to the cross, run to Christ. But I took this verse in another way for us who have believed. Listen to that. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that? God. And who is that God? My loving Father. So I shouldn't feel men, neither my God. So there is no reason to be fearful though. Adam Faith. Remember that name. Aaron Faye. He was the football coach who died after using his body to shield students from gunfire during Florida massacre that killed 17 young teenagers a few days ago. And this is what the students said. According to the students that he saved, he placed his body between the sick killer and children in harm's way. Coach Aaron Faye, listen to this, sacrificed his life so the students he loved may live. And I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he acted like a Christian. But let me tell you something that is for sure. Exactly what he did, but even greater, is what Christ did for us. The wrath of God was against you and me because we have sinned against God. But Christ protected us and he took the punishment on himself. So we can have life and we don't have to be punished. He protected us and he really died at the cross for us. In light of that, listen, children of God. In Christ, your past is completely solved. Do not fear for your past. It's over. Christ cleansed all your past, and you're free from that. Do not fear for your past. Your present in Christ is safe. He's with you everywhere we go. He feels with us. He weeps with us. He rejoices with us. And our future, your future, is totally secure in Christ. We are literally more than conquerors in Christ. Literally. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are privileged. And if we have to face death, the glory that he purchased from us and he's waiting for us will be our place for eternity. What a Savior is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing is to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing is to repeat ourselves that in him we are secure. We are blessed, protected, and there is nothing to be afraid. He's our older brother. He's our Savior. He's our protector. He's our shield. Oh, blessed be your name, O Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in peace without fear. And I pray for those who are struggling right now in their life with fear, looking forward to the future with certain uncertainty. Remind them that their future is in your hand and you are the Almighty Good Father. You are good, good, good Father. And those who don't know you here, who are certainly fearful, may become today a new creature in Christ, that your spirit may dwell in them and they fear no more for the rest of their days. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.